Position number 21295, Rule 5.
Petra, Drill 5.
I was quite rightly relieved by the colonel of a field regiment of 17 Indian Division. And some of the fiercest fighting in the battles of Imphal was on the Sirshar track. General Slim himself has described that Imphal was a series of battles, often fought by company commanders by themselves, and that they bore the brunt. I then was employed as an OP, as the CRA's representative again, on the Ukrul front, and where two batteries of my regiment were used to intercept stragglers of Japanese retiring from Kohima. I had no doubt during that summer that we were definitely winning the battle, quite unlike 1942. I was very surprised. I had been at the Staff College, so I could understand the strategy of the battles, and I could see what was happening. I was very surprised when very early leave was opened for the Indian troops. It would appear to me to be premature, but it was a very good decision. It showed all ranks at once that the generals were confident, and it was a way of expressing confidence in the soldiery. I never knew an Indian soldier who ever failed to return on time. And often messages were sent from reinforcement camps and reached the regiment that in such a reinforcement camp there were 12 gunners who were waiting in the pipeline to join their battery. The Indian soldier is never happy except he's either with his very own gun detachment and in the right battery, of course, or he is in his village. He finds the journey from one to the other through a foreign people and a foreign land quite harassing. And therefore, there's never any fear of him not returning, and return he does as quickly as possible. Well, now, that was a very wise decision by higher command, because I knew from that we must surely be winning. The other great difference, of course, was support from the air. Not only had we shot the Japanese Air Force out of the air, but we were able to provide supplies by air, and that was a revelation. I've never eaten better lamb than fresh Canterbury lamb dropped from the air within a few hours of leaving the refrigerator in Calcutta or Chittagong or Camilla. And the standard of rations went up enormously. I found the morale of the troops to be very high, and I wasn't at all surprised that the end came shortly afterwards in 1945.
I think you've got a story about 1956 during the Suez Crisis when you were at Colchester.
That's right, that's right. I was told that Anthony Eden wished to visit. And so I spoke to the regimental sergeant major, and he said, well, the soldiers are of three different backgrounds. They're either, there are very few regulars, there are national servicemen, mostly, and there are reservists. But the sergeant's mess are all regulars, and they are the heart of the regiment. Why doesn't he come to the sergeant's mess? And so he came to the sergeant's mess, and by chance, what stage managing there was, I don't know, he asked where, if anybody came from his constituency in the north of England, in County Durham, I think, and sure enough, there was a wife there. So he immediately made a beeline to her, and Anthony Eden appeared to be electioneering. And it was a great success. He was very good to the wives and to the children, and it was an overwhelming success. And that is one of my chief memories of the Suez Crisis, because my guns never left the port, Newport, and the men never left Colchester.
What was the name of the unit?
49 Field Regiment.